Hello there, friends. I'm Mark Roberts, and you are listening to a Wednesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Mike Catron to discuss some news and box scores from Tuesday's slate of four games. Mike, how are we doing?
So, Mark, it's good to have you back. I guess you've been back, but it's good to be back when you're back.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we got to talk to each other.
I know. Things got really off the rails when Kyle was here.
I heard there was some Star Trek talk.
I might or might not have said that my ideal fantasy holodeck experience would be Scottie Pippen naked in the holodeck. That's not what I said, but like Kyle led me into it. He tricked me into getting me to admit that.
I would guess that wasn't that hard to trick you into saying.
No, it was. I think he put something in my drink.
That sounds like Kyle. What was his? what was his version?
God, I don't know. It was like his has got really weird. He was like, I got lots of fantasies about the holodeck. I was like, he's like, I'm just going to leave it at that.
It probably had something to do with Bernie Sanders.
I wouldn't doubt it.
At the very minimum. Anything Bulls related we need to talk about before we get into the fantasy stuff?
In a non-related to anything type of news, I think the Golden State Warriors' prolificness is driving the prices down on other games.
People are just like, after they see the Golden State Warriors, they're like, I can't watch these other guys.
There's not a huge difference between a lot of the teams from last year and this year, except like the Golden State Warriors are just like far and beyond the best team. And like games like the Clippers are going for, like, I'm selling season tickets occasionally, and games like that, you would think people would definitely want to go see the Clippers. Nah, not a ton of interest. So they're selling for less than they did last year, but that Golden State game, everybody wants it.
Yeah.
Every person I know is asking me about it. They're not getting it. I'm going.
We're going together, right?
Yeah, just fly on over.
That's not so bad.
And
I saw him last year, like two rows up center court. Which was a fantastic game, but I kind of feel bad that I missed him this year.
Yeah, I went to the game last year, but it was early in the season, so it was kind of
same with me.
Not a huge deal. And then Draymond, I think, had his career scoring night of like 34, and we lost. It's very depressing.
It was my game was in Utah, and I watched Steph Curry sit on the bench for the fourth quarter with a towel wrapped around his neck.
That's pretty common, though.
Yeah, it is. I tweeted out this stat, which is useless for fantasy terms purposes, but I thought was pretty interesting about Derrick Rose. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend.
It got a lot of
excitement on my Twitter, though. It was that Derrick Rose's turnover rate, which is at 13.8 per 100 possessions, is higher than his PER, which is at 9.8.
Oh boy, he's pretty bad.
That's not good. And then I got into some discussion with some Philadelphia fans, whether they would want to trade him straight up for TJ McConnell. And I think the consensus is that they would pass.
That's an incorrect statement. TJ McConnell is not even eligible to play NBA basketball. Derrick Rose is a former MVP.
I don't think they disagreed with that. I think their basic premise was Derrick Rose isn't going to be good when our team is good, and we can't handle another Andrew Bynum situation.
And they don't need the salary. That's the problem with Rose is that, you know, occasionally he looks really good.
He's walking into the stadium? Is that
no,
when he
there's
looks
like,
really good?
There's at least 2 to 3 minutes each game where you're like, oh, is this where he turns around? He's almost turned into a Kobe situation, which is really sad, is that sometimes Derrick thinks he still has it, and he's going to take over the game. And then he misses a layup or two. And
if you could amnesty one player on the team or one person on the team, would you amnesty Derrick Rose or Fred Hoiberg?
That's a tough question. Obviously, Hoiberg, like you've asked me, what do I think of him? His opinion's in free fall, especially after us giving up fourth quarter leads in like three consecutive games. He's got a lot to figure out. Derrick Rose being one of those things.
Yeah. I hope he turns it around, but I am not holding my breath.
I pray every day to all the deities.
Are those separate prayers or just one big one to everybody?
It's just I don't have the time to pray individually to all those. It's just a big.
So you care. You care about not that much.
Send yeah, off. I have a job. Sure. I have to go to.
And you have a podcast. You have to come on too.
Yeah. Talk about the box scores.
Yeah. I was trying to. Is there any other Bulls stuff we need to talk about? They're gonna have to make a trade though, right? Like,
I would think so. Yeah. I thought we would trade Taj by now. I thought we were gonna trade Taj last year. He's good. Like, he's still good, but he probably peaked a couple years ago when he was actually like 15-10 and seemed like a defensive stopper and. You could get something for him, and we held on to him, and we still have him. And that backcourt's or front court is just really crowded. And
so, do you have a favorite trade scenario that you're hoping for?
Anyone who could shoot a three would be good for the team. Trevor Ariza, maybe.
Ooh, Trevor Ariza for who? Bobby Portis?
No, he's untouchable. I love that guy, crazy eyes Portis. I just want to see Bobby Portis play. Like, that guy's insane. I think
so. You're hoping they trade some of the big guys away. And...
yeah, and for sentimental value, we can't get rid of Noah. I don't care if it makes our team worse. I don't think it does, because when he plays well, we win. It's just he's very exploitable in the playoffs, as we've seen every single year.
All right, enough Bulls talk. Let's
People have turned the podcast off.
I feel like I really came at you with some Bulls takes there, and I didn't mean to.
Yeah, it did come out of nowhere. You did not prompt me with that.
I didn't mean to be aggressive with them either. I feel like
it's very emotional, but I did go to the Pelicans game and we won, so I'm in a good mood about the Bulls.
It was so. Watching Anthony Davis in person is one of, like, the things I remember most in my life. Like, the game that I went and saw him, he's just, like, a different sort of person. Did you get the same feeling?
Yeah, he moves.
Just the way everywhere. He moves. Yeah.
He will be halfway across the court and get a block, and you'll go, oh, my gosh. Or he'll just have a quick little, you know, he'll get around a screen and have it wide open and he'll dunk it all over everyone. It's like, well, yeah, that guy's better than everyone on our team. You're watching someone really great. Like, you can really see the difference between that quality of player versus everybody else on the court.
It's like do you remember that guy in the Little League World Series who was awesome? And then everybody realized he was like 15 and all the other kids were 11.
He was 19 years old. Yeah. He had a 401k.
Exactly. That's what Anthony Davis seems like. It seems like everybody else is in Little League and all the other parents are saying like Anthony Davis should be tested because there's no way he's in the same age class as all these other kids.
Well, he's not living up to that number two pick this year, it seems, in fantasy.
Well, that was always, hopefully if you listen to this podcast.
I don't think that was questionable. It's not just because of his injuries. His per game is not.
We had him as I think sixth or seventh in the first round, which got a lot of flack. And I still kind of think that's probably where he should have been. Partially because of injury history, but also,
that team was coming in with a ton of injuries, and
yeah.
I think they're getting better.
I mean, look, there's no question that, particularly in a roto league, that he's per game, he's one of the two or three best players. But this idea that he was just so much better than everybody else and like he'd separated himself as the clear number one was always overblown. But I'm just talking from like a movement, watching him play basketball is something else.
Yeah. Like the things he does that aren't, quantifiable are quite amazing.
I would say I don't think you pick that up on television. Like, I think of all the players in the NBA that you would, if you're going to say, I want to see one player in live, I want to go to one NBA game, I think that's the game you go to.
Other than the Warriors?
Yeah. The Warriors will be a lot of fun. But I feel like you can get a lot of the fun of that on TV. Like, I guess what I'm saying, the biggest gap between what you see on TV and what you see live is with Anthony Davis.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, you don't, like, you can be impressed that Steph Curry makes a 30-footer on TV or in the arena, and I'd obviously rather be in the arena. But I'm just saying, if you want to see something different than you're seeing at home on TV, you go watch Anthony Davis.
Well, I think he does something that similar to what Tim Duncan does. The couple times I've seen Anthony Davis, and I've tried to go to every single Anthony Davis game since he started playing in the league.
Sure.
Is and I feel like those first years he was just getting injured right before every Chicago game. But you look up at the scoreboard and you go, oh, 20, 13, four blocks. That was quick. Like, you don't remember him actually. Like, it's never, like, he's very Tim Duncan-esque where it's like you look up and you're like, Tim Duncan has 16 and 12? When did that happen?
For the first quarter. How did he do that?
You see him score, but it's not like he's crossing people over and making fadeaway jumpers. It's like a nice screen and roll, pop out, nice mid-range two, put back, tip in, here and there. And he gets it all. Like, he's just everywhere.
Agreed. All right. I promised we'd talk about fantasy basketball. We will do that.
That's the whole podcast.
That's it. It's back to you tomorrow. What we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about Greedis Vasquez being out for 3 to 4 months and what that does to Milwaukee's backcourt rotation, which has already been weird. We're going to talk about the Houston front court situation with some players coming back. And we're also going to maybe talk some trade etiquette if we get to that point of the podcast. So let's start out in Milwaukee. Like I said, Greedis Vasquez, it was announced, had right ankle surgery. He's going to, apparently they removed a bone spur and some loose bodies in there. I'm not sure what was jingling around in there.
Bodies? Like, they say, is that bodies?
It says loose bodies. Ew. That's what the report I'm looking at. I think that's sort of a layman's medical term. I think it just means junk in there. Like
broke.
Loose change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Expected to miss 3 to 4 months and be back in late March at the very earliest. So we've already seen some kind of weird things going on in Milwaukee. Like, we saw there was a time when I just lost his name.
Jared Bayless was getting a bunch of time. Jabari Parker has started and come off the bench and started.
And now we're getting, well, I'm talking strictly about the backcourt and who's playing alongside
Chris
Middleton. Because for a while we had Michael Carter Williams, then we had OJ Mayo. Then we had Gerald Bayless, and now it seems like OJ Mayo is the starter of choice.
Yeah, it's been a weird ride there, right? And
I would have expected maybe Greedis Vasquez to eventually get some time, but he's gone now. What do we do with this? Like, how do you see this shaking out? Or do you have any information either way?
So Greedis Vasquez has basically been out since the beginning of this month, and right. What we have seen in that time is OJ Mayo's minutes go up since then. But we haven't seen really any rhyme or reason to the rest of that rotation. So sometimes Bayless starts, sometimes Michael Carter-Williams starts. I don't know if we're going to – if this is
– ooh, looks like we lost Mike for a minute here. Let me give you my take on Milwaukee, and hopefully we'll get Mike back on the line. Mike, we're losing you again, buddy. Mike, it sounds like you're on some sort of drugs here for a second, so we're going to drop you. Hopefully we get Mike back in a second. Hey, so what we've seen in the last 7 games or so is OJ Mayo has been averaging 33 minutes per game. He's getting you 12.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 4 assists, over a three-pointer, over 1.5 steals per game. He's shooting 42% from the field. He's definitely producing in that time. He's been roughly a top, 75 to 80 player. So if he isn't owned in any of your leagues, I think now is a pretty good time to own him. I think his two best categories are going to be three-pointers and steals. He's also going to give you a little bit, like I said, in the assists category. So I would start with him. I think he's probably, like, if you were picking one Milwaukee guard to own alongside of Middleton, I think I would start with Mayo. Certainly not a shoo-in, but that's where I would begin. Michael Carter-Williams, even though he's been demoted to the bench, he's gotten roughly 30 minutes per game over the last seven games. And he's been fairly productive in those time period too. He's averaging 11.6 assists, four rebounds. He's getting up just over a steal per game. He's not giving you anything from the three-point category. He's not giving you much from blocks. He's still shooting a poor percentage, both from the field goal percentage and free throw percentage, which is hurting his value. But he's close to a top 100 player too. So I actually think both players are worth owning just to see what happens. Bayless is the guy that's on the fringe for me. At about 26 minutes per game over the last, well, in the last seven, he's just played the one game. He's the really the guy that could go in there and sort of screw things up for Michael Carter-Williams and OJ Mayo. And we have seen him be fantasy relevant this year. So I guess since he's injured, I wouldn't feel like you need to do anything with him just yet. I would own both OJ Mayo and Michael Carter-Williams. Both of them are going to get pretty good minutes until Bayless returns. And then let's see where things go from there. So at least you've got a short-term play with some upside. And potentially, you know, the rest of the season, if whoever they commit to of those three guys is probably going to have fantasy value, albeit with some warts. Both Mayo and Michael Carter-Williams are going to shoot pretty poor percentages. And neither of them are going to score anything close to, you know, over 15 points. So it's going to be mostly the steals and the assists that you're looking for there, with OJ Mayo giving you less assists than Michael Carter-Williams, but more three-pointers. All right, looks like we still don't have Mike back. Mike, you there, buddy? I can see your little picture, but all right, looks like we're still missing.
Oh. Hello?
Hey, Mike, you back with us?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Yeah, I think so. Nope, we just lost Mike again. Sorry about that, folks. Now I think would be an excellent time to read a word from one of our sponsors. We are excited to share with you that BetDSI is still a sponsor of the podcast. They are an online sports book that focuses on their customers. And what that means is they focus on making sure you get paid quickly and easily when you win. They're one of the most well-respected online sports books out there. They have an A+ sports book review. You can bet on pretty much any major sport. Basically, if you know about the sport, they offer some sort of lines on that sport. The one that obviously we care most about here is the NBA. And I was taking a look at some of the lines from Wednesday's slate of games. And the one that was most intriguing to me is the Golden State game. Golden State is back home. They've got some rest, and they're going up against Phoenix. And they are 12.5-point favorites. And I think there's probably two schools of thought here. We can think, hey, you know, the streak got broke and they're really upset and they're going to blow Phoenix out by 25. Or the streak got broke. They've had some players with some injuries. They might, even though they had some days off, they're going to rest some people and they're not going to worry about making sure they really blow out Phoenix. I feel like it's more about Golden State's mindset than who they're playing in any of these matchups. Like, Golden State is good enough to beat anybody. They're good enough to beat anybody by 12.5 points. It just depends on what you think Golden State's mindset is. I think Golden State, the way they've come out so motivated this season, I think it's going to be more of the let's prove to everybody that a Milwaukee game was a fluke. Let's blow out Phoenix here. I would take the Golden State side of this bet. I would take, even though you're laying 12.5 points, I think Golden State at home is a pretty good pick there.
Hey, Mark, can you hear me again?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Hey, sorry about that, everybody.
We're glad to have you back. I'm going over the lines for Wednesday night.
I'll keep talking going.
About No, I'm talking about, I want to get your take. Phoenix, Golden State. Golden State is a 12.5 point favorite. And I was, my premise was, it doesn't really even matter who they're playing. It's just whether you believe Phoenix or whether you believe Golden State is going to be ticked off and motivated and is going to come and try to prove that that Milwaukee game was a fluke. Or the
playback?
Well, and that's the other side of it. Now that there's some players maybe banged up a little bit and they don't have the pressure of the streak anymore, do they sort of rest some players or play players less minutes and not really worry about trying to win every game like they were before because the streak is over? And I'm taking they're super motivated. They have been all season. I think they're going to come out and try to prove that Milwaukee was a fluke.
Yeah, I would take Golden State no matter what the line was. Just it's Golden State. Play your odds.
Well, the game I would do that with is I think their next game is against Milwaukee
at home.
Yeah. So I don't even know how high the line would have to be for me to take Milwaukee in that game.
They're going
to
destroy Milwaukee. It'll be very fun.
You would think so. All right. Well, I just kind of gave my take on Milwaukee. Do you have any short thoughts you want to give there before we move on to Houston?
No, I did hear a little bit of what you're saying. I do think OJ Mayo right now is the guy to be running with and MCW. If he fits your style of play, then he's going to fit your style of play really well. Hopefully I think his minutes go up by the end of the year.
I kind of think that Michael Carter Williams is probably still the starter by the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they went out and got him, and they played well with him down the stretch last year. I think that's what they're looking for this year. They're trying to get back to what they were doing in the playoffs against the Bulls, and get that big long lineup where they could play smother you defense.
Yeah. Now, if you think the Milwaukee backcourt is kind of a funky situation, we're going to talk about an even funkier one in Houston with the front court. It's been kind of an up and down ride this year. Monte Yunus has been out for a good portion of the season, but he's been back for the last five games. He's only played a few minutes here and there, but we expect that to continue to ramp up. Dwight has had injury maintenance issues. He hasn't had any new injuries, but he's just trying to they're trying to make sure that they keeping him in a maintenance program, that they keep his minutes not too high, and he's been sitting out back-to-backs. And then Clint Capella's had an interesting start of the season, and Terrence Jones has continued to be in and out a little bit with injuries and also be in and out of the rotation a little bit. So what we saw on – I'm just trying to make sure I have my days right. What we saw on Tuesday is that Clint Capella, who had sat out the previous game with an illness, and Terrence Jones, who had sat out with a lacerated eyelid, maybe he actually played, I think. They were both back in the lineups, and I believe Monte Yunus was also in the lineup, and he started. It seems like they could go any number of direction with these guys now that they're all back and healthy.
Yeah, it almost makes it worse. At least when people are injured, you could pick which guys you think is going to play. Now it's just a crapshoot with more players involved. Though Monte Yunus did have a nice game in 21 minutes against Denver. Now, granted, that's against Denver. What was that last night? So I'm kind of interested to see he is starting over Capella tonight. And I'm interested to see how he does against Sacramento. I think a good game here with, let's say, 28 plus minutes. He's worth a flyer to see if this is where it goes. But I don't have any faith in Monte Yunus keeping a starting job or Capella or Jones. And then as you were talking before the show, there's now talk of a Dwight Howard trade, right?
Well, I've been trying to say that I think there's a chance Clint Capella gets Dwight Howard's minutes either through injury or trade for some time now. I think it makes sense. You know, there's nothing substantial out there. Chris Sheridan of Sheridan Hoops, who, if you're not familiar with him, he used to write for ESPN. He was the guy who was adamant that LeBron James was going to back to Cleveland when he did it. There's some skepticism on whether he really whether he really had the scoop or whether he was just making a bold call from his website that had a 50-50 chance of playing out. So you've been adequately warned
about the skepticism
about the report, but he's reporting that Dwight Howard is extremely unhappy in Houston and that rumors are surfacing of a potential trade to Miami for Hassan Whiteside.
I don't believe that for a second.
I think that would be quite a – and if you read more into the story, it talks about actually a Dwight Howard and Dwight Howard for Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow swap, which seems like it would make no sense unless Daryl Morey has just really like figured out a way to trick Pat Riley into the deal.
So. Yeah, Star Wars came out. Maybe he's got the Jedi mind trick stuff going.
It's certainly possible.
I just don't see how, like, you know, Whiteside's younger. He's playing very well.
He's cheaper.
He's cheaper. He doesn't come with a ton of injury problems or the attitude problems.
Well, the attitude.
Well, problems. The attitude problem. Different type of attitude problems, I guess.
And you know, if we're being honest, Hassan Whiteside is a guy who puts up a lot of stuff in the box score, but he's never proven that he can help you win games. Yeah. And Dwight Howard, at least in his career, has done that.
Just in the playoffs, he had some very good run.
Yeah, I mean, he dragged a team to the finals. Yeah. It's just that was like 7 years ago.
I do think your theory of Howard's injury or if he gets moved, that Capella's the guy there to own. That guy has the best across-the-board type of fantasy stats. With this percentage, this chance, maybe what I do believe is that Howard's unhappy. What I don't believe is that suddenly he's going to be traded.
Not for like Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow. Yeah. That seems crazy. So I'm skeptical that report has any validity to it. But I do think there's like Daryl Morey doesn't have any loyalties. Like, you know, Dwight Howard is basically in a contract year. He can opt out at the end of the season. He's had injury issues. He's probably on the back end of his career. If they think that there's any chance he's going to leave, I think Daryl Morey would be smart to get something for him. And Daryl Morey seems like a smart guy. So
yeah, he seems smart enough to trade him because this is the time to trade him.
Yeah.
Cut your losses. But
I continue to think, no, so I am bullish on Capella. I think one way or another, he's going to find minutes, whether they trade Howard or whether Howard gets injured or whether they trade Capella. Like, what if they trade Capella to a team that could use a center, you know, Boston or Toronto or someone like that?
That would be interesting to go to Boston, get one of those big guys back that could actually play minutes. Cause it seems like Boston has the opposite problem. They have four front court guys who can all play and play well. And Houston has no front court guys who can play consistent and play well.
Yeah.
That would be probably a great move for them.
In the meantime, it's going to be probably a little painful to continue to hold on to Clint Capella. I actually almost think I would rather him play the limited role as the backup center than try to play alongside Dwight Howard. I think he puts up better stats when he's not out there with Howard. Like in the first half of the game on Tuesday night, he only played 9 minutes, but he had 4 points, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block as the backup center. And he hasn't been that proficient as the power forward next to Dwight Howard. So,
yeah, his true position is definitely center, but
I think he could continue to get, you know, 20 to 24 minutes a night, and he's going to be not quite valuable enough to hold on to your team, but not so terrible that you like have to drop him. And my recommendation is hold him during that time and wait till at least the trade deadline, because I think there's a chance something could happen where he becomes a top. I don't know. Like if Clint Capella was getting 32 minutes as the center, how high do you think he'd go in the rankings? Like he's as high as Rudy Gobert, isn't he?
I don't know if he's that high. He has a potential, right? Like he's proven that he can put up a multitude of categories and do it pretty well with big minutes. But, you know, in most standard leagues, a guy like Capella at 22 minutes a game, unless you have Mark in your league who loves Capella and is definitely going to snag him off the waiver wire, I think you're safe leaving him out there. I think you're safe streaming
he's
him.
He's owned in every single one of my leagues.
Really? I'd like to. I'm going to go look and see how many leagues he's owned in. But he's not owned in very
and,
many.
And to be fair, a couple of those leagues are deep leagues, and a couple of those leagues. Mike, you're kind of cutting out again, buddy. To be fair, he is owned by me in a couple of those leagues. Just to remind everybody, though, his per 36 numbers from last season or from this season is 15 points, 12 rebounds, almost two steals, and over two blocks per game. And that, I mean, that's not something you're going to find anywhere else. He's shooting 60% from the field. So, I mean, I get it. Like, when he has these limited minutes, he's not going to be quite worth owning, but I think the upside is there, and I think the pathway to playing time is there. So if you can stomach for a little while, I'm going to do it. Hey, Mike, you're still cutting out. No, you're still cutting out. The pathway to playing time, I think Houston likes this guy. I think that they see him as a building block of the future or as a blue chip trade asset. So I think I think that there's a way he's going to end up with minutes. This is the exact same thing that we said last year with Rudy Gobert. He's going to be a little bit hard to own for a few weeks because the playing time is limited, but he's too good not to get playing time eventually. As far as the other guys, Monte Yunus, he doesn't really have that high of a fantasy ceiling. He's obviously a very talented low post scorer. But he doesn't have the fantasy upside. He doesn't do enough I'm trying to look back at his stats from last season. So last season when he played, his per 36 minutes were something like 15 points, 7 rebounds, which is fine, but he didn't average over a steal per 36. He didn't average over a block. He didn't average over a three-pointer. He doesn't do much from the three-point line from the assists. He doesn't shoot very well from the free throw line. So all you're really getting is points and rebounds, and even those aren't very proficient. So there's just not a lot to get excited about with Monte Yunus. I'm not sure he has much upside. For Terrence Jones, he does have some upside. He's always been one of the guys that ranks higher than you think he should rank in especially 9 category leagues because he turns the ball over so infrequently.
How's this, Mark? Good.
Hey, you're back.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree with Terrence Jones in Nightcat League is he has that potential, right? He can shoot threes. He can get rebounds. He can score.
He can block block shots.
If he can stop having weird injuries like lacerated eyelids and punctured lungs and stay on the court, to me, that's I agree with your Clint Capella to him having a lot of potential. To me, I think he's safe. He's actually only owned in 27% of ESPN leagues. I just looked it up. He's safe on your waiver wire unless you're in a deeper league or in a league with Mark. Terrence Jones to me has the more proven track record, I would say, over the years, but his health is obviously an issue.
And I guess what I would say is I don't know that he's proven that he can play the minutes that you would need to rely on him.
Yeah.
Like he's almost proven the opposite, that one way or the other, it's not always for the same reason, he's not going to play enough minutes.
You're right. But I guess what I meant was that he's proven he can bring the stats.
Yeah.
If he gets the opportunity and he's playing well.
Well, and everybody has their different threshold. But Capella has proven that to me. It's just a matter of playing time for them. And I feel like if Capella gets his shot, then there's nothing else to worry about. Like he's going to get his 30 minutes and he's going to be fine. If Terrence Jones gets a shot,
fall off.
Yeah. Injuries might happen or he might play badly and then he gets relegated to the bench again. Or
yeah. Capella is the safer bet when he has the playing time. Yeah. I think Terrence Jones has a more shot of earning playing time.
I would agree with that.
And has a good ceiling, but his inconsistency is been written.
What's his ownership percentage?
T. Jones?
Yeah, because he's owned in all but one of my leagues, it looks like.
My main man, T. Jones. I'm not going to say it's very high. I bet you it's higher than 27% for Capella. And it's much higher. It's 43% in ESPN leagues.
Yeah.
Percentages, but I will. I'm still going to use them. I don't care.
Yeah, they're the easiest ones to use. So
he's also ranked higher than him than Capella in totals.
I guess what I would say is, I'm okay letting somebody else suffer through the Terrence Jones experience.
And maybe that's just I'm staying away from all these guys right now.
Yeah, and I guess the one guy I'm feeling like I still want to take a chance on is Capella, because I think he can put up those bulk stats in rebounds, steals, and blocks that are hard to find.
That move's going to pay off in deep leagues.
Picking him up. If you're in a deep league, do everything you can to get him, I would say. Yeah. No, don't do everything you can to get him, but do everything you reasonably can to get a hold of him, because he's going to be worth it.
Do the occasional thing.
Sure. One last piece of news, Mike, and then maybe we'll get out of here while your computer is still working. Drew Holiday. We got some good news. Coach Alvin Gentry confirmed over the weekend that Holiday will no longer be subjected to sitting out back-to-backs.
Oh, thank goodness. He's been sitting on a few of my teams as benches in some roto leagues, and I'm struggling with having a guard in some of those leagues. So I'm very happy about this news. But let's put a big I've been the victim of Drew Holiday's shenanigans over the years, and
he's had a nice little run over the last week, though. In the last
four games, he's playing great.
Yeah, the last four games he's played, he's averaged 26 minutes. He's averaged 16 points, 5 assists, almost 4 rebounds.
Two
steals. Well, the last... Yeah, he's averaging 2.5 three-pointers. He's been awesome. So
go look at his per-game values. And I stress per-game values for a specific reason. He's been ranked in the top 60, 70 over the last 4 to 5 years. The problem is that if you've had Drew Holiday on your team in the past, he will eventually get injured and go out. And he's played 40 games last season, 34 games the season before that. This year, he's obviously been in the minutes limit has helped him recover from that injury. He's starting to look good. I think he's going to really relish playing a full 30 minutes. I think he's going to look really good. As you can see, he's kind of already looking very good. He's a really good point guard.
Yeah.
I hope not to be bit by another injury from him. I've put my money all in on Drew Holiday. I'm foolish. I keep doing it. So what's another year of losing him to an injury again? Whatever, I guess. But I like Drew Holiday. Obviously, I don't know why he would be available in any standard league.
What's his ownership percentage?
That's a really good question as well. I bet you it's lower. What do you think? I bet you it's lower than...
I'll bet 60%.
66%. Ooh. That is way lower than I thought. I would assume 80.
No, I mean, it's been hard to own him this season, because up until those four games, he was playing the two games before that, he played 14 minutes and then 13 minutes.
For the same reason, for a better reason than you have Clint Capella on your team, I've had Drew Holiday on my team. And it's he has been inconsistent. He doesn't play back-to-backs. He's played a couple games for 12, 15 minutes and played horrible. And now he's going to play 30 minutes a game for the rest of the season.
There's nobody that you can drop that has the upside of Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, it's the exact same argument. So I'm totally on board with that. and now it's paying off. Although if you can kind of take advantage of the fact that it's probably too late, right? The Jrue Holiday owner knows.
The Jrue Holiday owner is very, very aware of when it's probably all they've been looking at. It's all I've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. Like, hasn't this minutes limit gone on enough? It's mid-December. Yeah. He's already kind of screwed over that minutes limit every single other week. They're like, oh, he's only going to play 20 minutes. He'll play 25 minutes. And you're like, well, I didn't play him that game. When is this going to be over with? The Jrue Holiday owner should be very, very aware that Jrue Holiday is about to reap the value that he was drafted at and the waiting period for him to actually start. I'd happily take Jrue Holiday against you, against Clint Capella.
For what?
In a head-to-head.
No halftime
challenge.
All right. Let's wait till they're both starters, and then we can do that.
No.
All right, Mike, you got anything you want to plug today?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter mostly at Watch the Boxes, all one word. Or you could check out my website, watchtheboxes.com. I do write articles for the occasional other website, but they do link from my site to those. I also do some drop columns and some waiver wire columns on the occasion.
Who are you dropping lately?
Oh, who am I? I'm playing with Gorgie Dang. Probably going to redrop him and then pick him up and then redrop him again. There's a couple guys who I've seen kind of fall off, but Will Barton has been questionable, and actually I think he's kind of turned it around. I'm wondering what to do with Ibaka. I'm not going to drop him, obviously, but he's becoming someone who's not going to live up to his original potential. Al Horford's kind of been in a slump as well. So a lot of more slumpers than droppers this time around.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys all enjoyed listening to the podcast today. If you did, please go rate and review the podcast. Go like it on iTunes or Stitcher. Go hit subscribe. Do the same with your friends or your mom's iPhone that they don't know how to use. And until we're back tomorrow with some more basketball talk, hopefully you get to go watch some basketball. Have a good time. We'll talk to you later. Bye.